When you talk about bass fishing, you got to talk about the king of the hill. And with me today is the king of the hill, Preston Clark. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you, Terry. I'm not the king, but I'm the king till he gets here.
Well, there's no doubt about it. What a great tournament you had at Santee. Broke the four-day record with over 115 pounds of fish. You've got to be absolutely thrilled.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I'm lost for words. The feeling that I have right now, I never expected to have such a great tournament. And this whole year starting out, I've dreamed about this my whole life, and my dreams weren't this good.
Well, you know, you look back at it, and you know, we had an opportunity to talk a little bit about it, and your practice wasn't that good. But, man, oh, man, what a tournament.
Practice was lousy, but I had read about the tournament that was here a couple of years ago, and Kelly Jordan won, and the conditions set up exactly like that tournament, the weather, the moon phase, the water temperature, and everything. And I found some areas on Monday that had some spawning activity in there, but, you know, prior to this cold snap, but nothing was in there at the time. And I went back Wednesday, and when I went in there, I went through this little ditch to get in. I saw five to six pound fish going into this pocket. And when I got back in there, all the beds that I'd seen were all nice and clean and shiny and had 2 pound bucks sitting on every one of them. And I said, right now, guys, your girlfriends are on their way.
Well, you know, you look at this thing, new moon, you talk about the moon phase, and new moon, absolutely, I think the temperatures were right where you needed them. Talk a little bit about how you caught these fish. I know they're bedding fish, but talk a little bit about what bait selection, what line did you use, and some of that.
I used the same combination, the same bait and everything that I used down at the Classic. I have 7-6 heavy action Aris rod with a Shimano Corrado reel spooled up with a 20-pound trialing big game and a 5-aught owner hook and a Zoom big critter crawl in a pumpkin seed color. The key this week, I believe, was backing off far enough off the beds where the fish couldn't see me and keeping a low profile and make a long cast past the bed, bring it up to the bed, and as it sat in the bed, sit and let it, don't move it very fast. Let it sit there for 8 to 10 seconds and then move it a little bit. Sit there for 8 to 10 seconds and move it. And most of my bites, you really had to concentrate because most of my bites came, you never felt the bite. You just saw your line just go slack and they were coming at you with it. You really had to keep a high level of concentration.
Well, Preston, you know, you've been a bed fisherman. You've, you know, also a very versatile fisherman. And of course, that parlays into success. You know, it wasn't too long ago you're fishing down at the St. John's River, made the decision to go pro. And now you start thinking about, hey, maybe this is a pretty good decision. Did well at the Classic, and now with this $100,000 under your belt, you got to be feeling pretty good about those triplets coming.
Oh, I'm feeling great. My wife and I talked about the other night, and we talked, you know, what we're going to do with the money if I should win. And we decided that we were going to go ahead with the prepaid college fund for my little girl that I have now, Samantha, and the triplets. So we're going to go ahead, and that's what we're going to do with the money.
Well, you know, and as we talk back about the tournament, you know, a 6-pound average, which is phenomenal, 115 pounds plus. When you go out into a tournament like this, how important is boat position when you're on these bedding fish? You talked about the distance. You tried to stay off the fish. Where else and how did you position the boat around these beds?
It's crucial. The boat position is crucial. Ideally, you like to have the boat position where you can have your sun at your back. There's a lot of factors. You have the vegetation, which way the fish is going to move your bait off the bed. They tend to always, when they've moved the bait off, they tend to always move it towards deep water. A lot of times that's coming right at you. Other times, you know, they may be on the back side of a grass line and, the deep water is actually towards shore. You know, there's little sloughs and pockets and things. There's a lot of variables that boat position is very, very important.
Well, I got to ask you also, you know, we dance around this bed fishing thing all the time, but in reality, you also have to have a great pair of optics on. What kind of sunglasses are you wearing?
I was a big fan of one brand for many years, and I had an opportunity at the Classic to pick up a pair of Smith optics glasses, and I put them on, and it's really a step above what I've been wearing for many years. And they're not one of my sponsors, but I believe in the product. Smith Optic glasses are fantastic.
Well, you know, and you have to think about it. I mean, all the things these guys talk about, seeing fish, and some guys are better at bed fishing than others are. And, you know, but the optics part of this thing, being able to see that fish and be able to see how he's positioned is critical, right?
Absolutely. What I try to do when I come up on a bed, when I see, I look a long ways away. I don't look right over the bow of the boat when I'm looking for bed fish most of the time. I try and look and see a bed from a long distance, and when I can just make out a light spot, I lock onto it. Don't take your eyes off that spot. And as you get closer, just start coasting up with your trolling motor and keep looking, keep looking, keep looking, and all of a sudden you'll see something move off. That's when they're spooky, and you know they'll move off when they're a long ways away. A lot of guys, they'll come up there and go, well, there was nothing on that one. Well, there was 30 feet ago, you know, before you got closer. If you'll just ease up on them, and I take my push pole, and if I see a fish, I stop, try and back myself up. Don't want to run right over top of the bed and with the boat and everything, and back up and then set up and start fishing for him.
Well, and you mentioned something very important there is the push pole. You know, a lot of guys will take that trolling motor, maybe spook the fish with that, but a lot of the Florida guys have got a reputation for using that good push pole and also can use it to secure your position a little bit.
Absolutely, yeah. I try not to take the trolling motor and blow a lot of silt and dust and stuff all around the bed, and that's why I do take the push pole and push myself back and be nice and easy and quiet. And the least amount of stress you can put on the fish, the better, the quicker they'll bite.
Well, you know, you've now had a lot of success very early in your career, but you've also got a coach that's not too bad, and that's your dad, L.E. Clark. And, you know, you and I have had the opportunity, I mean, to know each other for several years, but your dad and I used to fish a little bit on the St. John's River. He was a hammer, and how much is his coaching entering into this situation now?
Yeah, it is crucial. You know, even Tiger Woods has a coach. Every professional has a coach, and my dad is mine. You know, you get into bad habits sometimes, and whenever you don't realize you're in them. When we do get a chance to fish together, you know, every once in a while he'll say, why are you doing this? When did you start doing that? And he'll get me and fine tune me and get me back into to the good habits that I've had that he's taught me over the years.
Well, and being in the boat with your dad, who also won a lot of tournaments on the St. John's River in the area in Florida, he's been through a lot of circumstances that maybe you're going to be faced with now, so I would think that experience plays well for you, too.
I absolutely. I talk to him on a daily basis, and I'll tell him, you know, here's what the fish are doing. What do you suggest? And, you know, it's nice to have somebody that I feel like could have competed. You know, he could have competed on this level and been very successful years ago. But back when he was really into fishing a lot of tournaments, the money wasn't as good as it is now. And he had a good job, and he stayed home and stayed raised his kids. But now the money's so good that maybe I can take my family with me on the road.
Well, you know, Preston, I got to tell you that a lot of that money you had growing up came out of my pocket. Because your dad won it from me. What a great fisherman he is. You know, it's great to have that kind of family support. Have you got any regrets? Have you looked back and said, hey, I wish I hadn't have done this, but with this success, I wouldn't think so.
No, absolutely not. It's amazing how fast everything's happening for me. People are calling me on the phone left and right. I've got people offering me contracts. When I get home, we're going to sit down and take a few days, and I'm going to spend my wife and little girl, and we're going to let it all soak in, and then we're going to get down to business, and we're going to start calling some of these people back and set them some meetings.
Well, Preston, one of the true gentlemen in the sport, you know, you've always been a humble guy, a great fisherman along the way, and congratulations on breaking the four-day record with over 115 pounds at Santee Cooper. Congratulations, and have a great next tournament, too, will you?
Thank you, Terry. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm Terry Brown, and this has been Bass Fan Radio.